Now, Paul Weller's coming to play here pretty soon, a few weeks' time. Let's talk to him.
Just where you're blowing, getting to where you should be going. Don't let them get you down, making you feel guilty about. Yes, all the good things you deserve now, right now. Climbing forever, trying find your way out. The wild, wild wood. Now there's no justice. You've only yourself that you can trust in. And I say, high tide, mid-afternoon. Oh, people fly by and the traffic's boom, boom. Oh, hey. Just where you're blowing, getting to where you should be going. Day by day, your world fades away, waiting to feel. All the dreams that say golden rain will bring you riches. All the good things you deserve now. And I say, climbing forever trying, you're gonna find your way out of the wild, wild wood. Said you're gonna find your way out.
And there you go, there is of course music from Paul Weller. Paul, how are you?
I'm good, man. You alright?
I'm very good indeed. Yeah, now let's take a look at this. You're playing here at Kilmainham in Dublin on the 24th of this month. Just first things first, Paul, what does that mean that Paul Weller's playing on stage? Who's on stage with you?
Well, it's the same band I've been using for, I don't know, the last sort of 5 or 6 years. Stevie Craddock, who's played me for, I don't know, long, long time, decades. Andy Lewis, Steve Pilgrim, Ben Godelier, and Andy Cross.
Okay, so six of you on stage, and the current release is more modern classics, as in the follow-up to 15 years ago, Modern Classics, which is basically you're kind of trawling through your more recent past to look for gems or otherwise. Was that something you had to do, or did you say, hey, let's just get all the A-sides, the singles, and stick them all in the one album?
Well, that's what it is, man. It's the greatest hit, so it's all the singles from the last 15 years. So it wasn't too difficult to put together, you know.
So you didn't necessarily have to trawl through the past. If you had trawled through every single album, put the needle in the groove from beginning to end of each one, do you think you would have said, wow, I was good, or crikey, I could have done that one better?
Well, it would be a mixture of both, I guess, because, not everything works out as you intended, you know. It's just the way it is, you know. There's some records that I'm more proud of, and I think, yeah, we got it right on that. And there's other records which I wouldn't care if I never heard again, you know, but that's just the way it is, man.
Yeah, of course. In those 15 years, or in the last bunch of years, do you now go into the studio less prepared in some ways and let the studio sort of do its thing, as opposed to having an album fully ready and taking it in and just recording it?
Well, that's how it's been in recent years. Yeah, I'm more likely to see what happens, see what spontaneously happens, really, I think. And, you know, I've got loads of notebooks just full of sort of lyrics or ideas, and I don't really do too much with them until I'm ready to record, you know, and then just kind of see what happens with it all. There's songs, I mean, I'm working on a new album at the moment. So, for instance, I mean, there's a couple of tracks on it which I kind of wrote at home on a guitar or a piano, whatever it may be. And then there's other things which I've just kind of made up as we went along, really, and just kind of just improvised and see what happens, you know. So it's kind of a little bit of a mixture, I guess.
Okay, and the mixture would include, if you think about it, now I know we could go way back with this, but in the last bunch of years, you've collaborated with an awful lot of different people. I mean, Robert Wyatt, you played on three of his albums alone, let alone Amy Winehouse and, what do you call him, Coxon from Blur, Martin Carthy, Graham, Boy George, possibly on Johnny Marr in the future. You're always talking about certain names. How good is that for you? Does that always make you bring something new to your own table, if you like?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, you're hoping to bring something to whoever you're working with, but then you also take something away, I think, as well, you know, and it's just interesting to see how people's different working methods and how they express their music. And there's always something else to learn, man. You never stop learning.
Okay, well, like, actually, some of the Irish, just I want to mention some things. You've worked with Kevin Shields on the 7-3, the striker's name. What was that like? I mean, was that you saying, I need some dissonance or noise or something a bit different than I can do here? Or, hey, this guy's sort of pretty cool, I'd like to work with him.
Well, kind of. I mean, I'd seen Kevin a few times. I didn't know him that well, but I'd seen him at different sort of shows. And we just sort of talked about it, you know, just maybe we could try and do something at some point in time. But it just kind of happened, you know. It's like, from a very sort of casual conversation until I found the right track and I thought, yeah, he'd be really good on this. So I guess it's like that, you know.
Okay, so that's Kevin Shields and My Bloody Valentine. But what about a younger band who, when they hear your name, would say, yeah, and they jump at it? And is it a different dynamic? I'm talking here about The Stripes, because you've been in the studio with The Stripes, and Josh from the band has come out saying, the one major thing I learned from Paul was the fact that if you want to do something, just do it. What was it like working with them, and what were they doing exactly with you?
We did a track together. Well, we played together a couple of times, actually. We did a thing last year for Record Store Day where we did like a little set. We played in Rough Trade in London, which was great to play with them lads. And then from that, I mean, I kind of sort of produced a track with them. I think it was on their last EP. But it was great. It was like working with anyone that's any good, really. I mean, you know, they kind of really got it together, that band, and Josh is an incredible guitarist, I think, but the whole band's good. And, I mean, they're young, man, and they've, you know, they've got a long way to go yet, and hopefully they get a chance to be allowed to develop. And I can only think of good things really to come out of what they're doing.
Indeed. OK, well, that's
finding
The Stripes.
Finding their feet as, as writers and stuff like that, which takes time sometimes, you know.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, we are talking to Paul Weller. He's playing the 24th of June here in Dublin, in Kilmainham, at the Royal Hospital, that is. I'm going to play a track from Paul now. Let's take this. By the way, I should say this is done in Studio 10 the last time Paul was in with us live. In other words, live here on 2FM.
I'm wishing on a star to follow where you are. I'm wishing on a dream to follow where you've been. And I'm wishing on all the rainbows that I see. Wishing on all the people who've ever been. Wishing on tomorrow, when will it come? Wishing on all the loving we've ever done. Wishing on a star to follow where you are. I never thought I'd see time when you would be so far away from home, so far away from me. Just think of all the moments that we spent. I just can't let you go from me. We were meant. I didn't mean to hurt you.
And I know that in the game of loving you, I was slow. I feel it's time for us to make up, baby. I feel it's time for us to get back together. Make the best of things, baby, when we're together.
This music from Paul Weller, and he's playing on the 24th of June at Kilmainham in Dublin. Paul, just taking a look at the fact, you were just talking about the Stripes there earlier on, and the funny thing is, like, when you think back, like, I mean, the Stripes still have teenage years left. It's kind of frightening to think, but they're all born in 96, 97 direction. So when you were back doing all this music in the early days, and when you applied your trade in the pubs where nobody was listening to you, which was a really kind of good way to get there, they were disinterested in Woking, in Surrey, etc. You were about 16 years of age. The other guys were 4 years older or thereabouts. That's a very difficult thing, isn't it?
Well, they seemed much more grown up than me because I was just a kid, you know, but it didn't make no difference on stage, man. But, yeah, it's just as a social thing, I guess it's different. It's a world apart when someone's 20, 21 and you're 17 or something. It's a big difference.
Yeah, and then also, like, when you find you want to move on and you ended that band, The Jam, by 82, what was the feeling there? Was it, like, relief? Was it freedom? Was it fear? Was it regret? Did you feel you did the right thing?
Well, it was absolutely the right thing for me, but I think probably for the legacy of The Jam as well, personally. It upset a lot of people at the time, but breakups always upset people, don't they? But I felt, you know, a massive weight lifted from me, really. But more than anything else, you know, I just wanted to move on and just wanted to try different things, you know. It wasn't anything particularly beyond that. I just needed to move on as a person, let alone an artist, but just to see what else was out in the world for me, you know.
I mean, you mentioned once that years ago you were kind of maybe a bit dulled out with the punky guitar sound and you wanted to change from The Jam. And like, pivotal moments happened. You went to see a Gang of Four gig at the Nashville Rooms and that changed the sound of your album, Sound Effects, which would probably be your favourite Jam album, simply because of the way they did stuff with music. You know, the cut-down sound, the dub reggae, the bare-bones stuff. Or as journalists with university degrees would call it, the deconstruction of the pop song. Is that what happens to you? You learn all the time from things that are outside of your normal realm. You say, I want to take a bite of that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's those things influence you, but, I mean, by the time they come out through your own sort of filtering, they become something else again, you know. That's the way it's always worked.
And then the music that you've taken through the last 20 years and so, like, I mean, for instance, like, we know that you went to the Sex Pistols and you were completely changed, like, in terms of your approach to music. But, I mean, like, people wouldn't necessarily think, what are you talking about, Off the Wall by Michael Jackson? Like, were you into the Philly sound? Were you into the soul sound? Were you into all these things, or did you go visit them and find out, okay, I didn't grow up with this, but I'm going to check it out?
Well, probably, I mean, soul stuff. I mean, I've always listened to soul music. I mean, I've kind of gone right from the 60s through up until now, really. Black American music's always been a massive influence. But I kind of just, I'll give anything a chance and just to see what it's like and just to check it out, really.
And if we wanted to find out about Paul Weller through his music and lyrics and that, you can't really say, oh, this is a Paul Weller about Paul Weller. I mean, like, I know something like The Changing Man. And you've, people have often said about you, you know, like, that if it ain't broke, then break it anyway. You're that kind of guy. Or success brings chaos, kind of whatever. Because in the 90s, you kind of went wayward a bit. But, like, in The Changing Man, you say, numbed by the effect, aware of the muse, too in touch with myself, I light the fuse. So when things are going really well, and in your solo career at that time, things were going extraordinarily well, and you're being critically lauded and everything, is that when you say, there must be something wrong with this, I'm getting too much praise, I'm going to blow it? So off you did, you went and blew it.
Well, depends just the way you look at it. When you depends what you mean by blowing it. I mean,
well, you went a little bit OTT in the private life, a little bit OTT with the sort of with a drug. You know, just when you thought by the end of the '90s, you said, wait a minute, I need to pull back here.
Yeah, but that's just running the course of a life, isn't it? I mean, that's just, you know, sometimes you're on it and sometimes you're not on it, man, and that's just the way life is, you know. Depends what kind of life you lead, but I've led a very full life, and I don't really have too many regrets about any of that, man. It's just, that was just a phase in a period of time, you know, and I learned from it and moved on, you know. That's all you can do, really.
And moving on now, I mean, like, I know you went to see the Stones sometime back and you thought they were good. You were a fan of Stones and Beatles, a fan of all the 60s music, obviously. You see every reason and every right, just like blues musicians were lauded for sitting on a stool and falling off dead by the end of a gig at the age of 90. You see it that, like, hey, I'm just 50, whatever I am, I'm good on until I'm 80 or 90, no problem.
If I had any vision at all in my twilight years, it would be just to carry on doing what I'm doing because I love it so much. And all the time I'm getting something from it, and why would I stop, you know? I mean, I think I'm still doing good work, it's still relevant, but just to carry on playing music, you know, what else, what other better thing could you do with your life? Really?
No, nope, absolutely. I just want to say that there's a song here, like, the album is called More Modern Classics, and it's you looking back on 22 Dreams and Wake Up the Nation and Sonic Kicks and all that kind of thing, and one of the things, He's the Keeper, the song He's the Keeper, I mean, He's the Keeper is really about Ronnie Lane. Would it be fair to say that if there was one band on a desert island, it would have to be, for Paul Weller, the Small Faces?
Well, it'd be a real tough one, that, because it would be a toss-up between them, the Beatles and the Kinks.
Yeah.
So that'd be a very, very tough decision. But I mean, I love all those three bands I've just mentioned. I love them so much, and they form the real kind of cornerstone to my music, and especially in my formative younger years.
Yeah.
But I guess so, man. Yeah, Small Faces, I suppose it'd have to be, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, Paul, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. We'll see you on the 24th of this month, and that's with the full six musicians on stage, right?
Six good musicians on stage. So,
sorry, I'll repeat that. Six good musicians on stage. All right, yeah, Paul, thanks a million. Good luck. Take it easy.
Thanks, man. Take
All right,
it easy.
Good luck. Bye.